The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Your Money Replay from Money FM 89.3. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
14 minutes past 10. And now in Money and Me, the show where we look at Future Lab Ventures. Maria Aquino is managing partner of Future Lab Ventures. And they're really interesting because they're adapting their ventures to long-term digital mega trends. They say the emergence of the next 1 billion consumer class, financial innovation and aging population means that the modern world of venture capital investing needs to look at these long-term digital mega trends. So what are these trends? Why should it matter to investors? And we'll take your questions as well at 9717-8893. First up, good morning, Mario. Thank you for joining us in Money and Me.
Good morning, Michelle. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having us.
First up, I wonder if you can tell us what a venture builder does and how you're different from a VC?
Excellent question. Look, simply put, a venture builder builds new companies. Now, when it comes to Future Labs, it's a bit more nuanced than that. We build new digital ventures that want to reshape, entire sectors and create innovation at scale. So innovation at scale really becomes a core belief, for us, because, we believe that when innovation doesn't scale, it doesn't bring the positive impact, that it needs to be, to bring to society, corporates and consumers.
Can you give us an example of that?
Of course, we all know that, we live in an unprecedented era of technology, innovation and business model transformation. The truth, though, is that we see a lot of early stage, very distinctive startups, innovators that find it very difficult to scale. And so we believe that there is a real market opportunity for those that bring the right set of capabilities to really unlock, the potential of, the technology transformation that, we're experiencing. And coming back, to your question, how are we different than venture capital? Look, we believe that VCs have an essential role to play in the innovation landscape, and we actually actively collaborate with them. However, we also believe that capital today is no longer enough, and we complement the capital with other operational capabilities, real deep expertise, in scaling companies, like in providing market access and in understanding new technologies and business models in order for companies really to become regional and global players.
What is your view on how recent economic uncertainty in the U.S., the trade war, U.S. and China, how has that impacted venture capital fund investments, and what are some things investors should take note of?
Yes, of course, everyone is looking at, the trade wars, there is expectations about recession, et cetera. What we're seeing, in the venture capital community and broader technology community is that investors are being more selective and concentrating their deal flow towards, fewer and bigger deals. And that's, certainly a trend that is here to continue. And of course, means that also, they need to deploy bigger capital in fewer deals.
And what are some of the biggest risks that come with venture capital investing? And how do you, I suppose, communicate with investors this risk and hedge against major losses?
It's a fantastic question. Look, we actually are very bullish on private equity and venture capital, and we believe that they should feature more prominently in investors' allocations. If you look at today's market context, you have public equities, where market valuations are reaching peaks. You have fixed income securities where you have negative interest rates, and so we believe that private equity, the world of VC private equity, where people can really add value at the level of their portfolio companies can really demonstrate significant returns. Of course, investors do need to spend time to understand this asset class, right? There is a number of risks that are implicit in the type of investments we make, such as liquidity, for example, right? The time horizons that we look at is multi-year over the course of the investment life cycle. When it comes to us, look, we try to de-risk the value proposition in a number of ways, actually throughout the investment life cycles. At the entry point, at the investment point, we offer our investors the opportunity to invest at cost into the cost of building new ventures, as opposed to market valuations that are becoming actually quite expensive and toppy. We then, throughout the life cycle of the investment, we add significant operational value by scaling these companies, to become regional and global players. And then, at exit, we've actually groomed a network of financial investors as well as, strategic investors like corporates that can provide, a nice exit, for our portfolio companies.
How much abundance is there for angel investment opportunities?
Yes, as I said before, we are seeing that VCs are concentrating in fewer and bigger deals, and that is also true for angel investments. They are becoming nicely more selective, and that's great to see. But also means that those that can raise capital have an abundance of capital, but there are a number of others that are not receiving the same attention. And this is part of the market context, but it's where we actually look at unpicking the right innovators and then bringing to the attention of the angel community.
So listeners may not understand the concept of ecosystem venturing. I wonder if you can bring that to life for us.
Ecosystem venturing is core to Future Labs, and that's actually why we have built the company. We believe that there is new business model around platform based that is a dominant way of creating value. Let me give you two examples. One from a customer perspective, and the other one from a corporate perspective. Look, the first one I would pick is the concept of aging population. We all know that. That actually the silver generation is an increasingly underserved but also big customer segment. For Asia alone, we'll be housing over 60% of the over 65 years old in the market. And yet, typically, these customers have been targeted by companies in a very siloed approach, insurance companies providing insurance products, wealth management companies providing wealth management products, healthcare providers, giving them medicines and healthcare provision. And we believe, that actually that concept needs to be pivoted on its head, where there is an opportunity by using technology to actually have a much more customer-centric approach and actually providing complementary set of solutions, that caters to the needs of this, particular customer segment. And we already are seeing startups that use IoT to provide, better health, information, to the silver generation. And then, use the same type of information also to price better insurance products, etc. So there is certainly a way in which, industry boundaries are blurring. And the same, I guess, just to continue on the second example around the corporate, is true for corporates. Today, you might be a telco company that thinks you are in the communication business. But in reality, telcos are just a platform that connects millions of subscribers and has information about those subscribers. And it's very easy for them to go into other sectors and become a financial service institution, an e-commerce e-tailers. And I think this is the opportunity that is afforded for companies that think to understand where is the value and how they can capture that in the wake of new technology innovation.
Very elegantly expressed. Thank you for expressing that. A major pitfall in ecosystem venturing, some might say, is that the organization concerned loses focus and begins investing in a wider deal stream, seeking greater autonomy, perhaps. Can investors do any due diligence or take precaution in the event that what they're investing in, the unit starts to do this?
Yeah, That's exactly right. I think look, the way that we think about it is that when we advise corporates on how to build ecosystem ventures, today you need to really think about where is the key control points of an ecosystem. And instead of owning all the different products and solutions or creating your own products and solutions, partnerships is a very good way to actually provide a better complementary sets of products. So while we take your statement as true that if you diversify too much you can lose focus, frankly, if you focus on your clients and then you partner to provide the right complementary products, then you still are very much focused on understanding your clients. And by providing different products through partnerships, you have a much greater understanding of your clients than if you were just providing one single solution.
Some might say that's the what we're seeing with banks, and that's key to the future of banks. For example, they're hosting other software to do with foreign currency exchange, perhaps on their home sites. So expanding the stable of what they're offering through partnership. So do you think we're well past this whole idea of disruption and moving towards cooperation in many industries?
That's completely correct. I think we always saw that it's more about collaboration than competition. Of course, there is a number of digital financial attackers that try to disrupt, but actually the name of the game is really around collaboration. And we are a big believer of what we call bringing the best of both worlds, and something we focus on, kind of matching the entrepreneurial talent, the agility and mindset, of new technologies together with the assets at scale that large financial institutions can bring, such as clients at scale, data at scale. And that's where you can unlock really transformative innovation at scale very rapidly.
Given what you've seen on the ground, Future Labs, you're working on adapting your ventures to long-term digital mega trends. What are some of these trends? And just before we leave off again, why should this matter to investors?
Yes, actually, we proactively decided at Future Labs not to define our focus areas in terms of technologies, right? Big data, artificial intelligence, everyone talks about them, and we certainly have deep expertise in these areas. But for us, these are really technology enablers to create value. So we stepped back and said, look, what are the mega trends that really are truly going to transform, the world?
Mm.
And then how do we use technology to unlock value from those? And, there are a number of mega trends that we're extremely excited because they're focused on deeply understanding customer segments. And so number one is the emergence of the next 1 billion consumer class, right? This is a trend that speaks to the geographies of Southeast Asia, India, Middle East, Africa, and is very interlinked with the trend towards urbanization, which is certainly transforming the fabric of societies today. Let's not forget that the GDPs of some of the mega cities is becoming as big as the one of entire countries. Tokyo, for example, Tokyo's GDP is already as big as the one of Spain, an entire country. And now in this mega trend, we believe that Asia can lead the way because 9 of the 10 biggest cities in the world will actually be based here. And Asia is very much unencumbered by legacy city infrastructure. We're building new entire smart cities, being smart city first. Typically, the analogy I use is the one of mobile phones.
Mm.
We didn't have a great fixed telephony infrastructure, and that helped us leapfrog directly into mobile first generation. And I think we see the same trend around urbanization. Another mega trend that we think it's very important for investors to focus on is the one that I mentioned earlier, aging population. There is a significant a new generation of the silver generation that really speaks around having a much more cross solution approach to this segment. And then finally, we talked a little bit about this, the whole area of financial innovation, because financial services are still the oil that powers entire economies. And once again, we think that Asia can be leading from the frontier, not only in the developed economies by bringing financial services at a much more efficient cost, but actually, let's not forget that the big opportunity here is also about financial inclusivity, because Asia houses the biggest unbanked or underbanked population.
Fascinating. Thank you so much for joining us. He's Mario Aquino, Managing Partner at Future Lab Ventures.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.